Hello and welcome to 2 Timothy. We start today in the second section of God's Church Manual, 1 Timothy being the first. Lesson number one today, we start out in chapter one of 2 Timothy. In chapter one, it tells us how we need to think. In chapter two, what we need to be. In chapter three, what we need to know. And chapter four, what we need to do. As Paul begins this letter to Timothy, the pastor there at Ephesus, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle. This is very interesting that he starts out that way. He's writing a letter to Timothy, who was his longtime friend, went through a lot of trials and troubles with him as they traveled together. He doesn't write and say, hey, buddy, how you doing today? Far too important for that. This is something that is inspired of God that was written so we could have it 2,000 years later to show us what we need to do and how we need to do it. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Shortly after receiving Christ as his personal Savior, Paul referred to David when he said that he served his own generation by the will of God. Paul was a student of the Old Testament scriptures long before he was saved. And it's very likely that he had a great admiration for David, and now that Paul was saved, perhaps he wanted to pattern his life after David. Everything that Paul did after meeting the Lord was based on his desire to serve his generation by the will of God. It's a major emphasis in his writings, doing God's will and doing it God's way. Romans 1 and 10, he said, the will of God. 8 and 27, the will of God. 15 and 32, the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, the will of God. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, the will of God. Galatians 1, 4, the will of God. We go to Ephesians and we have the will of God there twice. Then in Colossians 1, the will of God. 4, the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, the will of God. And then in 5 and 18, again, the will of God. 2 Timothy 1, 1, here we have the will of God. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the will of God. Paul was very concerned about doing God's will, God's way, and inspired of the Holy Spirit, he wrote it down for us. Do God's will and do it God's way. It's very important to keep in mind that 1 and 2 Timothy was written to the pastor. Let me say that again. A lot of the books of the Bible, the New Testament, when Paul was writing, he wrote to the churches and to Christians in general. In 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he wrote to the pastor. And we need to keep that focus as we go through this portion of Scripture. It is very important to keep it in mind. This epistle was written specifically to pastors to tell us how we need to do things in the local church. Again, this is the second part of God's church manual. The major focus for every pastor concerning everything that takes place in our local churches should be that we make sure that it is in line with the will of God. Verses 2 through 4, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, we could focus on these two verses here for quite a while. I want to focus on the subject of thinking. It's a great idea to take time to think, and one of the greatest days of my life was when I decided to do my own thinking. I used to wonder, what does this friend of mine think about this, and what does that other pastor friend think about that? And it's not a bad thing to be concerned about that. But what we need to do is take time to do our own thinking. Paul said, I have remembrance. It is impossible to remember something without thinking. He also used the phrase here, being mindful. being mindful. 2 Timothy 1:3, I have remembrance of thee. 1:5, I call to remembrance. 2 Timothy 1:6, in remembrance. And then in 2:14, in remembrance. Now here's a question. Jesus asked it once in a while, and we need to ask ourselves the same thing. What think ye? What do you think? The word think is in the Bible 65 times, thinkest 9 times, thinking twice, thought 81 times, and thoughts, plural, 57 times. Now, the dictionary says the thinking is to have a particular opinion, belief, or idea about someone or something. Now, I want to focus on that word opinion. We need to be very careful here. An opinion is a view or judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact. Let me read that again. An opinion is a view of judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact. That's an opinion. Now, a belief is the acceptance that a statement is true. Now, if the statement that we're listening to is not based on facts, we better be careful. How can we be sure it's based on facts? We better have scripture. We better have chapter and verse to support what we believe. That's really important. Now, an idea, interesting what the dictionary says there. It says an idea is a thought or suggestion as to a possible course of action. You're going to have an idea about how to do something. Once again, we better make sure that our course of action is based on facts and not just somebody's opinion. And so, what think ye? We have a choice. We can base our thinking on the Word of God, or we can base our thinking on one of all those opinions that are out there. What do you think about music? What do you think about separation? What do you think about this, that, and the other thing? You better go to the Word of God and figure out what you believe. I said before that one of the greatest days of my life was when I decided to do my own thinking. I had some friends in the ministry, and I know what this friend thought, and I know what that friend thought, and I had to decide, what do I believe? I took 5 years to figure it out. That is, I got into the Word of God, and I said, all right, I know what so-and-so says in the commentary about this particular subject. What do I believe about that? What do I believe about the local church? What do I believe about tithing? What do I believe about missions? What do I believe about Christian schools and colleges? What do I believe about separation? What do I believe about music? As I said, it took me 5 years to go through it all, and I have a better understanding now of what the scriptures say, and I may not have got it all right, but I've got it all better than if I just get somebody's opinions of what they say in some hepped-up meeting that I go to. And I'm not against going to meetings. Don't misunderstand me if they're scriptural and Bible-based. But what I'm saying is, Jesus asked the question, what think ye? We need to ask the question ourselves. What do I really think about this, that, or the other thing? And am I basing it on someone's opinions, or am I basing it on the facts? And the only true facts we can have in this world is the Word of God. Go to the Bible and see what it says. Now, in verse number 5, Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Unfeigned, that means without hypocrisy. It is the practice of claiming to have beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. That's what it is to be a hypocrite. Unfeigned, the practice of claiming to have beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. When we talk about faith, we talk about what we believe. Now he said, I am persuaded. He said, I have reasonable grounds to believe that the unhypocritical faith that was in your grandmother and that was in your mother is also in thee. Then he said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance." Now you stop and think, Timothy, pastor, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The gift of God. We have God-given abilities. Those, whatever abilities we have, we got them from God. So he says, stir up the gift. We need to think about that song that says, not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace has bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded. Pride, I am base. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul the Apostle, you look at his life, and you look at what he went through. How did he manage to get it all done? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Only a sinner saved by grace. And whatever God gives us to do, he gives us the ability to do it, and we need to stir up that gift and get on with what God has given us to do. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now that word fear, according to the dictionary, is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. Well, that's a good definition, but it's not the definition of this word here. This Greek word that is here only appears this one time, and it's talking about being timid, showing a lack of courage or confidence. And so in our mind, we can have an unpleasant emotion about what God has given us to do. We can be timid about what we need to do, but that is not given to us from God. This timidity is not given us from God. It's coming somewhere else, that's for sure. And so how can we have a sound mind? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in complete harmony. And so we don't have to go with an opinion. We just have to go to the Word of God and in sincerity say, Lord, I want the truth about this situation. I want the truth about music. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He doesn't say some truth. He says all truth. So there isn't 24 different definitions of what kind of music is right in our churches and what kind of music isn't. There's only one. He said, I will guide you into all truth. Now, the situation here is you might have to change your mind about something. If we're not willing to change our mind about something, then that is faith with hypocrisy. And so he says, get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in us. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Bible and the Holy Spirit are always in total harmony. We need to make sure that we are in total harmony with that, to have a sound mind. Peter talks about taking the oversight as a pastor with a ready mind. How are you going to have a ready mind? Same thing. Get into the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. In verse number 8, we read, Paul said to this pastor, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be not ashamed of the testimony. That is what people are saying. So what are people saying about the Lord? Whoa, when they saw his miracles, they loved his miracles. But his message, not so much. In Matthew 23, he preached to the Pharisees, and he called them in that one message, he called them hypocrites 7 times. He called them blind fools. He called them blind guides. He said they were full of hypocrisy. He said they were serpents. Keep in mind, he's preaching publicly here. He said they were vipers. In Matthew 23 and 15, he said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That is pretty direct preaching. Well, we don't get much direct preaching anymore. Now we got to be politically correct. We don't want to get anybody upset. They might quit putting money on the offering plate. No, he says here, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of that kind of preaching. I can imagine that the disciples there, especially Judas saying, hey, this isn't going to work out here. If he's going to get everybody upset, we need to all get along. Yeah, that didn't work out too well for Judas. And then you look at all the other disciples. I wonder what they're thinking as they're listening to Jesus preach this way. Why did he put it in the Bible? Oh, he said so that we would not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then he said also, nor of me, his prisoner. Can you take and see the situation when Paul the Apostle rebuked Peter before them all? What are the people thinking about? What are the other disciples thinking about this? Why is he doing that? Peter's his good friend. What about Hymenaeus and Alexander? Remember, Alexander stood up for Paul back in Acts chapter 19 when they had that riot, and Alexander was right in the middle of it, standing for Paul the Apostle. Later, Paul turned him over to Satan. Oh, what are the people thinking about that? What are they saying? He's been delivered unto Satan. Can you imagine the talk that's going around? And then Philetus and Demas. Demas was such a nice guy. Why didn't Paul just keep quiet about it? Oh, sure, he's having loved this present world. He had to tell everybody? Yes, he had to tell everybody because he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do it. What about when he rebuked those Galatians when they were turning to another gospel? His first sermon, read it after Acts chapter 9, the Jews sought to kill him. He had to escape down a wall in a basket. And then he struck Emmaus blind. Did he have to go striking him blind? Yep, he did. Then the Corinthians, he called them carnal babies. He said in Hebrews, I have a lot to say to you that I want to say, but I can't say it because you're dull of hearing. He said, you're baby bottle Christians. We got a lot of baby bottle Baptists today, too, who've been sitting around too much time to, no time to study scriptures. We got lots of time to do everything we want to do, from watching stupid garbage stuff on television to doing things of no importance or eternal value. Oh, a lot of baby bottle Christians around today as well. And so he says here, don't be ashamed of my testimony. You can't wonder about what people are saying when he's calling them baby bottles. He said, I wanted to give you roast beef and potatoes and gravy, but I had to feed you milk from a bottle like a little baby. Can you imagine what the people are saying about him? He says, let me read the verse again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The afflictions of the gospel? Are we going to help any afflictions? Oh, no. We just hope that we can keep preaching that stuff and people keep applauding for us, and then we'll all feel good. What about the afflictions of the gospel? 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're not seeing too much persecution because of our preaching these days. It says in Psalm, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Interesting. What about Jesus? Were they applauding for him? Not too much. What about the disciples? Did they applaud what they preached? No, they all got themselves killed just like Jesus did. Except for John. He was wishing he had been killed. He was boiled in oil and stuck on the Isle of Patmos. And we got the book of Revelation as a result of that. Were they applauding him? Not many. How about Paul the Apostle? Well, we find him in Acts chapter 14. They stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead, left him on the side of the road. He said, no, I'm not dead. He got back up and went right back in where he came from. I like that guy. Today, what's going on today? Well, we have what I call for let's feel good fundamentalism. Let's just talk about the positive things. Let's not get into anything that too controversial. Let's just keep the smooth things coming. Well, he said, be not ashamed, but he said of me, of Jesus, But be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That phrase, according to, is in the Bible 725 times. First time we read it in Genesis 6, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And then in 7 and 5, Noah did according unto all that God commanded him. And how did he get that strength to build that boat and do all that stuff and standing alone in that world of apostasy? By the power of God. That word power means ability. By the ability of God. God has given us a job to do, and he's given us the ability to do it. We just need to get at it. So as Paul wrote his letters in the New Testament, he wrote the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he wrote Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, and then he wrote Colossians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, also the book of Titus, he wrote the book of Philemon and the book of Hebrews. He's very busy doing the things that he did. And we have three books here that were written specifically to the pastor, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And he says, what you do, it's not supposed to be according to our works, but according to his purpose. His purpose. He said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Now the apostles, they're off the scene now. There's no apostles around today. We do have preachers, and we do have teachers, and pastors are supposed to do both. What's the difference? A preacher is like the herald who came into town and said, hear ye, thus saith the king. He didn't come in to have a dialogue with anybody. He didn't come in to teach them some real in-depth studies. He said, look, this is what the king says. You better do what the king says, or you're going to be in trouble with the king. That's preaching. This is what God says. You better do what God says to do, or you're going to be in trouble with God. That's what preaching is. Hear ye, thus saith the Lord. On the other hand, teaching, that's about what we're doing now, only I like to mix a little preaching in with it. Teaching is, well, let's have a discussion. We have a meeting in our group, and what we do is we'll take a chapter of the Bible, and we'll go around the group, and we'll each read two or three verses and say, now look, what you need to do here is keep a focus on something in this chapter that sticks out to you, and we'll discuss it. And we have a great time doing that. We get together, and we're right now in the book of John going through some of those chapters in there. And what do you think about that verse? What do you think about this verse? And we have a good time talking back and forth about what we think about those verses and what they might mean for us today. That's teaching. Preaching, hear ye, this is what the Lord says, shape up and do what he says, or you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. That's the difference. So Paul said, I am appointed a preacher, and he was an apostle, we're not. I am appointed a preacher and a teacher, and that's what we are supposed to be doing today. All right, we're going to leave it there for today. 2 Timothy, we'll get into lesson number 2 in our next session. Be sure and be with us.